1-1.
Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, that'd be great. Facebook, still, we're having trouble, but you can go to financialissues.org and watch the program and listen. I hope you'll do that, financialissues.org. While you're there, stop off on the front page, spend a moment, look at our retreat, and I hope you're registering to come. We have so many great people that follow us all the time, that are on the air, that call in from time to time, that are partners and so on and so forth, that are coming to the retreat. I'm so excited to meet so many. And we will meet and talk because we'll have plenty of time. And we are, I guess we're getting kind of close now, so you better get registered so that we can make sure that we cut it off at the right time. So we may have to do that. I hope we have to do that. I hope we have to do it soon. But I want everybody to get in. So if you're thinking about coming, pray about it this weekend, and you know, try to make a decision to come on out. I do know this much: you won't regret it. You won't regret one second of it. It is an amazing time. Dr. Woodrow Kroll and his teaching is absolutely amazing. He's one of the best Bible teachers in the country. We're going to have three sessions to hear about, you know, our theme is God is able, and I suspect that's what it's going to be about. You know, it's very laid back, very laid back. You don't have to, you know, dress special. It is not some sort of conference and lots of, look, we're all going to be very casual. We just want to be comfortable, and you'll be comfortable. We're going to have a great time, great food, great time of worship with Marty Goetz, and great time in the Word. And I'll tell you, I don't know anybody that has been there that hasn't said something to me about all of that, the teaching, the worship, and all of that. Somebody once said to me at the end of it last year, said, I had no idea. There was four men, new friends, I'm sure, four or five guys, and they were standing around in the back talking in a circle. And I was walking by, and they called me over, and they said, we were just talking about this, man. We're sorry. We wish it was still going on. It was going on a couple more days. We had no idea we were going to do church like this for the last few days and it be so much fun. And what a great time it was. I suspect that those guys will be back this year. They may have already registered. But look, I hope you'll come. You're not going to regret it. It's not a conference and it's not a seminar. I was very excited after I said that yesterday. I didn't get any emails yesterday about the seminar or the con. It's not a seminar. I'm not getting up there and I'm teaching or I'm not doing that. I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to be sitting there next to you somewhere and listening and worshiping and retreating from the world. So we are going to retreat and grow closer to the Lord in that retreat. So I hope you'll be there. Make sure you register soon. So go to the website, financialissues.org, front page, right there on the front page. Go there and you can register. So I hope you'll do it. All right, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. I also want to remind you that I'll be in Oklahoma City towards the end of the month sometime. That's our next town hall meeting. I don't know if we have this on the website, but in end of April, I'm going to actually be teaching a class, finance class, at Glacier College. Glacier College. And it is about 5 minutes from Glacier National Park. If you want to see an incredible sight, you can do that. I'm sure on my website, I should look to see. It is. Okay. So Ian tells me it's on there. So if you go to the website under events, you'll see it. And I believe they will let you just audit the class if you can. Now, I don't know what's nearby and what you can, where you can stay and all that kind of stuff. But would love to see you come out to Glacier Bible College. We're really excited about being there. So you'll see that. It's under events. I put it on there because I was told by Dean that one of the, I guess he's the, I think he's the president, it told me that there were people in town that know me and listen that were registering to come out that week to do that course. So I thought that was, you know, kind of unexpected for me. So anyway, I hope you'll come out. I'm sure we'll have a great time. So I'm going to be doing my program. You can even sit in on my program. They don't know that yet. I haven't told them that I need a place to do my show from. So we'll be doing the show from there as well every morning. Then we're going to head right to class. So we'll have a great time. All right. We've got our Ag Report coming up. We're going to do that. And then we're going to head to phones. We're going to stay with phones right after that. But why I've got this minute, man, please, folks, we need preborn. All of this talk about pro-life, and we have got to keep open this New York City Center. It's in Queens, the Jamaica section of Queens. Man, you've got to keep this thing open. We've got a match. We're trying to raise $250,000. Somebody's given $250,000 as a match to try to make their budget. We don't want it to shut down. This is a place that desperately needs this center. So would you contribute to that? Go, you can go to the website, preborn.org, go to financialissues.org, click on the preborn logo there. I hope you'll do it and come alongside us in this incredible project in New York City. Here's Craig Haggard with our Ag Report. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haggard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market spent the day on a treadmill yesterday as we ended up closing less than a penny away from where we started the day. Weekly ethanol production was down 45,000 barrels per day from the previous week, while ethanol stocks saw a slight decrease to 23.9 million barrels. I suspect that today we'll once again see the funds spending the day trying to get their positions squared away ahead of tomorrow's USDA report. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading down a half a cent. Yesterday saw the soybean market vacillating back and forth, with strength coming from more soybean export news and pressure coming from the thought that we'll get a not-so-friendly report for beans on Friday. South American weather is still being closely watched, so it's worth noting that patterns are expected to improve next week for both Brazil and Argentina. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading a penny and a half lower. The wheat market was lower in lackluster trade yesterday as traders await tomorrow's USDA report. It is interesting to see Russian wheat exports wane as their currency moves higher, making it more difficult for them to price their wheat competitively in the export arena. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are both trading 4 cents lower, while Minneapolis is unchanged. Cotton made a little forward progress yesterday, with the March futures closing up 26 points as they settle at 73.66. In the overnight trade, we're seeing a little bit of slippage, with spot cotton futures trading down 9 points as I record this. Livestock futures got smacked around yesterday. April live cattle futures finished the day 47.5 cents lower, while March feeder cattle futures finished the session down 65 cents for the day. Lean hogs were not immune to the bloodletting, as April lean hog futures were down 70 cents for the session. Class 3 milk futures actually turned in a solid performance, with March futures up 16 points to settle at 14.36. In cash markets, choice beef boxes were up 55 cents at 217.57, while selects were 73 cents lower as they settled at 212.37. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 61 cents lower for the day as they closed at $65.61. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Up.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning, receive our regular email alerts, and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times, that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And I show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to take
care of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
Bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Excuse me. We're going to go to calls. Let me go to Nick. Nick is calling us from Florida. Hey, Nick.
Dan, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a couple of questions.
Okay.
The portfolio tracker. So I've been a member for, I don't know, maybe 2 years, and I really started getting on board with your plan about a year ago. So market was high, rolled over a bunch of investments. Needless to say, there's been plenty of opportunity to dollar cost average down in those initial positions. So being a young guy and not liking to watch too much cash sit around in the brokerage, I started really buy it pretty heavily, and I don't regret it. I actually hit it at a great time, and I'm looking at the portfolio tracker going, okay, do I add, you know, the positions I dollar cost average down, or do I just, you know, do the math and add it that way? And I guess I'm trying to, the question would be, hey, if I bought a share for 100 and I bought another share for 50, do I just put in I own two shares and then cost basis of $75, or do I put basically make two separate positions for the same ticker symbol?
Yeah.
Or does it not matter? You know, is there a recommendation there before I go ahead and do that? Because I have quite a few positions. I've filled pretty much the model out, and there's, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 50 positions.
Okay. Yeah, I think it does matter. I mean, I think you should do it. I think it doesn't matter how you do it, but if you do it separately as opposed to averaging it, if you do it as a separate position, that is this an IRA account?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it really doesn't matter then. Forget what I was going to say. I'll tell you what I was going to say for in case it was an investment account. So if it's an investment account, then it's nice to know what was first in, what you first bought, at what price. Because generally, first in, first out. So for your taxes, from a capital gain standpoint, which you don't have to worry about, from a capital gain standpoint, you're going to get capital gains on the first shares that you bought. That's how it's going to calculate what you first paid. So until those first 100 shares or whatever it might be that you paid $100 for get eaten up, you know, so it's going to usually work like that. So it's great to separate it. That kind of helps you track that. But in an IRA, it's pretty irrelevant because everything's getting, it's not irrelevant to track it so you know where you are profitability standpoint. It's important to do it, but the average is fine to do that because all of its income, it's all going to tax you as income someday. So it's kind of, or if it's a Roth IRA, no income at all, and it really doesn't matter. But I would do it by just averaging out.
Okay, perfect. With respect to Roth IRAs, big fan. It's pretty much the bulk of my qualified accounts are in a Roth IRA or in a Roth TSP, 401k.
Good. Good.
I'm now very surprisingly in a position where I may not be able to contribute to a Roth IRA and have been pursuing backdoor options. And I say pursuing, I mean I have Googled it. Uh-huh. Because that's a very new development that we're, of course, thankful for, but also trying to be a good steward of in more ways than one. And, I would like some opinions or recommendations on the best way to go about doing that. And if that is the preferred method, you know, is there, I'm a big fan of paying my taxes now and not having to worry about when I'm in a, you know, down the road for the qualified accounts, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So does that jive with what you would recommend?
Yeah, it would. There's a lot of different plans out there and different scenarios. And some of them are not good because they include different insurance products. And I think that it comes out, it doesn't help you because of the fees. And in that case, I would say I would not do it. I would do it in an investment account. And yes, you're going to have to pay capital gains someday, but you're also not going to have money controlled by the government. And if you're maxing out one aspect of your retirement savings, I always get very confused by this. I don't know why people continue to do everything they can to tie up more money in government plans. One account is enough. And at some point in time, you know, we need to understand, we know it's not good, but we need to understand the reality is that if the government regulates a plan, they somehow think they magically own the plan. That's how it works. It's like that with everything. And so we need to have some sort of limitations. And I say this to you because you're a young guy. We need to have some sort of sense that for this, we can't have all of our money qualified. We need to have a good, strong, healthy pool of money that is non-qualified, that is money that nobody ever is going to change a rule on or say something or do something that is going to impact what I can do as an individual with that money. And so I wouldn't get overly consumed if you get to a place where you're maxing out one to be able to continue another. I would say if you're maxing out one, don't do anymore. Do it in an investment account and where you have a lot of flexibility and no long reach of the government. If you are in a situation where you've got 30 years and you're not going to use this to retirement, you're obviously going to have in that non-qualified account a lot of gains. It's okay. Who cares? It's great. I made all this money. And yeah, when I use it, I'm going to have to sell out of some positions. And when I sell some of those positions, I'm going to have to pay my capital gains tax. There I am absolutely certain. I didn't ask Kevin Brady, Congressman Brady, this last week when I had him on the air because it was on my list and I never got to it. But if there's a good chance that he could then be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee again, and if that happens, is taking capital gains tax off the table? Is that going to be off the table at some point in the future? And now, it doesn't mean that liberals aren't going to come in and put it back on the table in some way, shape, or form down the road if that happens. But, you know, who knows? Maybe not. So I wouldn't worry about, man, do what you can in your qualified account. Do what you need to do. Take advantage of the tax advantages that go along with that. There will be a point, because you're so young, that that is going to be maxed out maybe, and that's all you can do. That's fine. Switch over to your investment account.
Awesome. Thanks for the encouragement. I also gave a ticker symbol to your screener.
Yes.
And I'm not going to disclose it because I don't want anyone to get, buy something. But, hey, we've been doing some work with them. That's the only reason I know they exist. And it's just why I think that they're going to just explode. They have in the very, very short term. But, you know, I'd love for someone qualified and competent to look into it, and if it's something worth pouring money into, that the members know about it.
Well, it's something that went on my radar screen back in middle December.
Yep.
And so I'm going to be watching it closely to see how things evolve in it, but it sure has they sure are doing some great things, and I always get concerned about a company that is engaged in monetizing things, that service platforms, you know, monetizing mobile phone use and things like that, because it can be regulated and it can change dramatically. So I worry about that. But anyway, I'm watching it. Yep, I'm watching it.
Well, appreciate that. One comment, just, all the, I'll call it, kind of cathartic, responses to whether it be the State of the Union or the political or cultural environment that we find ourselves in. Remember, for you and for everyone, this is nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. As goes the believer, so goes the nation.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior of our culture, the behavior of our unbelievers, we should not be surprised with. And the behaviors of folks who even call themselves Christian, there is a deficit of good Bible doctrine and Bible teaching in this country. And if we spent half as much time praying for our leaders and praying for those in positions of authority as we're commanded to, as we did complaining about it, and I say we, because I'm lumping myself into it,
I think
we'd be better served. So, folks, let's not lose any sleep or get any heartburn, because our citizenship is in heaven. We have dual citizenship, and thankfully the long game's in heaven, and we need to be a light for Christ and a light for righteousness, not a light for behavior, because morality is subject to opinion, but the Bible is not.
Yeah.
And we need to further encourage them. Imagine if, Ocasio Cortez or Nancy Pelosi were to come to a position or conviction of Christ. Mm. And I don't know the heart. I don't know the thoughts and intents of their heart. So they may just be lost.
Yeah.
But what if they were? And so that's what we need to keep in mind, and temper our. There is righteous indignation, and I think for the most part, we generally are not righteously indignant. We generally have our own pride and our own. Things which sometimes, understandably so, cause an emotional response, and we need to let Christ that is in us be a response.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and we've got to stay focused on that. I mean, I prayed fervently for President Obama and his family, and even more so for President Trump and the nation, all of our leaders. We got to stay focused on that. We can't ever lose focus on that. And we've got to put a little feet to that faith as well, and stay vigilant on top of that about what's going on around us. But great, great stuff. Thank you for that, Nick. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
folks,
Dan.
Sure thing. 844-707-5533. We'll go to break. We'll be right back.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now. 1-800-829-5685. That's 1-800-829-5685. 1-800-829-5685.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. We're going to go right to phones. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brian. Brian's calling us from Texas. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Hey, I've got a question. I'm age 55.
Okay.
And my brokerage, most of it is in traditional IRA. Uh-huh. It's in the ETFs and money market, okay?
Okay.
Diversified. But he's saying the other day that, hey, come on by, let's think about going into bonds. Yeah, okay. I've got another 10, 11 years to work. Mm-hmm. But what is, that's one of my questions.
So,
what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so I'm okay with bonds, but what he means by that are bond mutual funds or bond ETFs, and I'm not okay with that. So, I understand that brokers, most brokers are still in the mindset that there's some sort of safety in bonds, and that kind of went out the door about 12 years ago. Listen, individual bonds,
right.
If you were to buy a municipal bond in Conroe, Texas, for their new sewage treatment plant that they're building, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. There's a maturity date to it. Someday it's going to mature. Someday you're going to get your money back. In the meantime, you're going to make a little interest. That's not so bad. I don't have a huge problem with that, and that's fine. But, bond mutual funds, I think, have a lot of problems ahead of them. I think the problems got worse this morning without going into all the detail. So I think that, if you've got 11 years left, I don't know, I would be more interested in staying, you know, in your equities. I mean, you're in ETFs, but so right. It's not like owning individual stocks, but at the same time, I would rather be a little bit more in the growth-oriented side. Are you going to have to ride down some downturns? Absolutely. We have a recession on average every 10 years, every 8 years. So, you know, some would argue, well, we're behind, we're due. It's okay. Those that rode the recession out in 2008 have never been happier. So, I mean, I think that that's okay. You might have to do some of that. Now, I am speaking from somebody that's more individually stock-oriented, but nonetheless, I would rather see you stick to the growth. Well, you know, I don't know what ETFs you have or anything about them, but I'm assuming that you're in growth kinds of things, and I would want to stick them out for the next 11 years. If they drop down 50%, it's okay. They're probably going to come screaming up in, you know, 3 or 4 years after that. So you just got to ride it out. When you get 3-4 years away, three years away from retirement, yeah, right. Now it's time to rethink. But right now, I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Hey, one other thing. There's a stock that's not on your broad list, but you have one of them on there. It's Marathon, but this one's the LP one. It's not on your list at all.
Yeah.
LP. It's MPLX.
Yeah. Now that's an ETF limited partnership.
Okay.
So yeah, that wouldn't be on my buy list. That wouldn't be on my list. Yeah, it's not biblically responsible. It's not. I would have some issues with that on not. You know, on a recovery side, on the ability for it to recover during a down cycle, and that would be my issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Keith. Keith calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I are partners in Oklahoma City, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Oklahoma City.
Oh, great.
7.
Great,
yeah,
great.
Yeah,
good.
Very good. Hey, just wanted to touch base. My company has a 403B, and they match on the first 1.5%. And I'm working with our HR department to try to get them to add a Roth feature. And the administrator says that they can do that, but that we need to modify our plan document. Yeah. And I'm wondering if there are any features that I need to recommend they include in the plan for the Roth. And basically, one thing I'm thinking about is, can you set it up where the match can be matched if you're putting money in the Roth, or does it need to go into the traditional and then have a feature that you can convert the traditional to a Roth, or how does that work?
You can set it up exactly like the traditional. Now,
okay.
A lot of companies don't, and a lot of administrators don't recommend that the match go in there, that the match go in the traditional.
Okay.
And I think that's very unfortunate. I'm not really sure all the reasons why they do that, but a lot of them do it. But there's no reason why you can't match both. So, you know, it's not as beneficial to match in a Roth, because the nice thing for the company is if they match in the traditional, that match comes out of your pay pre-taxed. So they don't have to pay their share of taxes, Social Security and other things, on that.
Okay.
So they actually, it actually is a good thing for them. It works out better for them because it lowers your taxable income. And it's a good thing for you. You get an immediate benefit because it lowers your taxable income. But in the long run, in the someday when you're gone, you retire, it's not better for you. But,
right.
So that's one of the reasons. There's, a couple others, but that's the one reason they don't like to do that. So I would suggest that they have a Roth. There's always two things that I try to suggest when I have human resources people call me.
Okay.
Because they're changing their 403B or 401K or they're starting it up. And I always try to encourage them to, include the match, obviously, in both sides.
Okay.
If they don't have it, I tell them, don't even do a traditional, just do a Roth. That's really important. Include the same loan provisions, whatever you have, and include the loan positions. And most importantly, what I try to encourage them to do a self-directed feature of the Roth or the IRA so that it can be set up at a TD Ameritrade as a 403B self-directed so that you have the option of using individual stocks or individual bonds or whatever you want to use. You'll have the whole world open up to you, and in the long run, it's going to be better for you.
Okay, so would that self-directed option, would they be able to self-direct just on the Roth, or would it also be on their traditional? They could choose either one, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think they could charge just, they could set it up so it's just on the Roth. They should be able to do that, or do it on both.
Okay, cool.
So all companies should do self-directed. It's ridiculous. They don't because they buy into the bill of goods that their financial person is selling them. But because they don't want to, the financial people don't want to do self-directed because they can't make any money off it. But the self-directed relieves them of liability. And I don't know why they still want to stay in this. Someday that none of them will. Everybody's going to do self-directed because the lawsuits have already started. So once they figure out that, they don't have any liability in the self-directed, they'll start to switch over. But I always try to tell them to do that from a liability perspective. And, put every single responsibility on the employee, take it all away from you, as opposed to an employee saying, well, if you would have given me this option to be in a money market account, that's what I would have done, and I wouldn't have lost my money. Because the companies are never going to win those cases. They're never going to win. It's already starting to happen. It's happened the last 3 years, and everyone has lost, and nobody's ever going to win. So they don't have no shot of winning that when they have a select menu, and most of the time they don't offer anything to protect your money, because again, the financial people can't make anything off of those, so they don't offer it, and it's wrong. It's wrong for them to do it. So, and it's a liability.
Okay. Cool. Great.
So tell them that. It might scare them. It might just do it.
Okay.
So.
Hey, can I ask you a little tangent on that?
Sure.
I was thinking about setting up a Roth for my kids and just telling them I would do a little match on it. Like if they put in $200, I'd do $200. Is that something that can be done, or are there rules that prohibit that? Or
no, there's no rules that prohibit it because nobody knows it's happening. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, you know, that's just something that you're doing with your kids. And there's no reason why you can't do that.
Okay,
make the deposit directly to the account. Their account. You can even do that; it won't matter.
Okay, and so I would just tell Fidelity, "Hey, I want to open up one for my kid and give them the social number." Okay.
That's
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Keith. Glad you called. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks,
all right.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Let me go to Ken. Ken's calling. Oh, we don't have time. We're almost at it. Ken, hang in there. You're on deck. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. We've got lines open. We're going to get back to phones. I haven't looked at the markets at all. Maybe I'm afraid. I don't know. Could be. But haven't looked at them, so we'll get a look at them and recap just what's going on right here in the short-term part of the day. We'll be right back after this.
who can find a virtuous wife? She's worth far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. She extends her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
To an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
We shop, you save.
Beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. 844-707-5533. By the way, all the indices in negative territory. The Dow's down about a half of 1%. The S&P, the same. The Nasdaq's down about 0.75%. Technology's having a little bit more rougher day, but it's early yet. No sense in thinking too much about it, worrying too much about it, that is for sure. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes here by the end of the day. We'll see if we can break this one-day losing streak. We had a four-day win streak. We'll see. Yesterday, everything was negative. Hopefully, we can get back into positive territory. We'll see. I'll let you know tomorrow morning. All right, let me go to Ken. Ken's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. I just want to let you know I appreciate all you do for the kingdom, and not only that, but and I've been about a 3 or 4 year partner with Financial Issues, and just want to tell you we get a lot from that. But what I was calling about, Dan, is looking at, you know, two couple stocks, actually. Sunoco, symbol SUN, for a long-term hold. For the dividend is kind of, the yield is pretty high, and I'm just kind of wondering your opinion, first of all, on do you think that that's going to stay there? I think they paid 7 or 8 quarters of 9 or 10% yield on that thing. So what's your opinion on that as far as long term holding it as income and things of that nature?
Yeah, I would be very concerned about it. I don't think it's going to hold. I think they have some financial problems. They're really struggling. If I own the stock, I'd probably be selling it. So I don't feel real good about it. I mean, the one school of thought would be that they are having some problems, and that's going to make them good for a merger or a buyout. Problem is, I don't know if anybody's going to want to buy them. They have a lot of debt. They've got, they don't have great real estate, great properties. They did manage some years ago to sell off one of the refineries. They sold it to Delta Airlines, believe it or not. Now, Delta Airlines just 2 weeks ago announced they put it back up on the block. They're selling it. They've realized this whole oil business isn't what they ought to just focus on making money in the airline business, which they can't do. But anyway, get why they bought it. It was a good move. Well, you know, we're going to control our jet fuel prices. You know, we're going to own the refinery. But so now that's back up on the air. They don't have great. They don't have any great properties. I'd be real concerned about it. I wouldn't want to own it. I don't know what their dividend is, but it's probably in and around, you know, 12% or more, I guess. I mean, it keeps going up as they keep going down. But I would probably put a sell on it as opposed to want to buy any at this point.
Yeah, and one more question on another long-term hold. I know, you know, they did a merger here 6-8 months ago, ET, Energy Transfer.
Yeah, and, so that's E26, and E26 is a good one to have for income. E28. Yeah, it's a good one to have if you're in it for income, that's for sure.
Now you're saying E28, I thought it was ET, Energy.
No, I'm talking about my number on the website.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have to give out the symbol. I don't like to give out the symbol.
Oh,
so
okay.
it hurts what I would say to you because there's certain things I won't say to you because everybody's going to, I can't really talk about it like I would normally. So that's why I have those numbers on there. So I'll just say it's an income stock. It's highlighted in blue and it'd be one I'd keep.
Yes, sir. Okay, Dan, again, I appreciate you taking my call, and thanks again for all you do, my friend.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ken.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sure thing. Folks, I try to emphasize to you, if you're a partner, to not give out the symbol, not for two reasons. One, you're not going to get what I really want to say about it, because I won't say it. So you're only going to get a very brief overview. You're not going to get any detail that you can really sink your teeth into. So, you know, you need to understand that, and that's going to hurt me being able to give you the answer I'd like to give you. I'm not going to sit here and say, man, that is a great stock. You ought to buy, because it may not be on my buy list, whatever it is, and I might not want people to buy it right now. So I'm not going to say, you know, I'm glad you own it. It's making a lot of income. You know, people are going to react to that. So there's thousands and thousands of people that have tried to be a partner without paying $85. That's number one. And they always gotten hurt because they missed the sell order, they missed the details on it. So that happens all the time. But I've got to be careful about that, as you can obviously understand and relate to. Let me go to, Ricky from Texas. Hey, Ricky.
Hello, Dan. Thank you very much for taking my call. Just partnered up with you maybe a month or two ago and been listening to you for about 7 or 8 months, but I'm needing some help on just getting started here. Where do I start at? And I'm 62 years old. I'm retiring next month, semi-retiring, and I would like to start putting some of my stock into the right places, and I know that you know where the right places are, and I'd appreciate some advice.
Sure.
I go through Wells Fargo, but from what I'm looking at some of my stock, I'm very heavily invested in three of them, and none of them are cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know where on your website and where do I go to find this table of where to buy, where to sell?
Okay.
And I'd appreciate your advice, and I'll leave it at that.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ricky. Thank you. Ricky, what you want to do is, first thing is move out of Wells Fargo, which you'll do when you retire. So transfer what you have there. You got to go to a brokerage. So you can go to an E-Trade or a TD Ameritrade or a Fidelity brokerage or something like that. If you don't want to do it yourself, but you want to follow along and make sure you're biblically responsible, then email pat@financialissues.org. She will give you the name of somebody that can help you, that is an advisor that I trust, that I know will do the right thing by you otherwise. And just to give you an idea how hard it is for me to do it, I only have one that I know of that I would ever recommend to anybody. So and I don't give the name out over the air or anything like that. We don't, I mean, but Pat at financialissues.org, Pat is my administrative assistant. You just say, who's Dan? Who would Dan recommend? She'll tell you who that is if you wanted to go that route. But you need to get a brokerage. Now, if you went to Fidelity.com and you opened up a brokerage account or online or you talked to them there and opened that account up, then they will tell you and show you there will be a transfer form, and you're just going to, they're going to do it for you. You don't have to do anything. You just got to sign the form. And then whatever you have in your account now will show up in your new account. You know, give it a few weeks. It takes a few weeks, but it'll eventually show up in your account. And then you can sell out of what you have. You can start to reposition what you have, and you can start working on those things. You will go, when you go to the website, when you partner and go to the website, you can click on, you know, how to get started, and there's an instructional video that will lead you through what you need to do. So that's one thing you can do. But you will see that you click on buy list, and you'll see the buy list there, commentary, Dan's commentary. I think it's in the first column when you click on the partner link there on the website. And on there, it breaks it down into three columns. In the first column, there's something that says buy list or commentary. I should know, shouldn't I? But I'm going to look right now, so I'll tell you. But, you know, you click on partners, and then you'll see it's in the middle column, not the one on the left. It's the middle column, and in the very top of it, it says commentary and buy list. So you click on that, and it'll take you to the buy list. Now, the buy list is not what is under the buys for this week. You've got to scroll down, and you'll see the entire buy list. It is organized by sector. All the energy stocks are in one place. All the industrial stocks. People, every day, somebody asks me to put it in alphabetical order. I am not going to put it in alphabetical order, because then you will be emailing me and say, well, I bought this energy stock that was, began with an A, and I bought that energy stock, and I wish I would have bought, you know, Xcel Energy at the bottom of the list, but I didn't see it. I only saw. That's why it's in sectors, so that you can see the asset allocation model that's in sectors and see on the buy list in that sector, whatever sector you're working on, and you'll see what's on the buy list altogether. So they're not in alphabetical order, and they never will be. So I say that because I just got emails yesterday about it. So it's not going to be an alphabet. Trust me, it's for your own good and benefit. So you can organize your tracker any way you want by clicking on the very, very left-hand side of the arrows and holding it, and you can drag it up or down. So you can arrange that in any way you want. I have mine arranged in sectors, but if you want to put it in alphabetical order, you can. So that's how you're going to get started, but you got to get a brokerage account. They will help you transfer it over. Folks, I know some of you have got to leave us, but we've got another hour left, so cue your call up. We have a couple lines open. I hope you'll pray this weekend and tomorrow about the retreat, and I hope you'll come. More financial issues right after this.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be
you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.